Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day. Before we look into the Word of God, we ask that Thou would open the Word, help us to apply the truth of the Word to our hearts, and then grant our Father we may, as we apply, live. We depend upon Thee, resting on the promise of Thy Word, that Thou, our Christ, lives through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you will want to open them to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, that portion of the Word of God we've been studying together. It's impossible to emphasize all of these truths at one sitting, so we have to carry over from one broadcast to another. That necessitates a bit of review. You'll remember that in the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, John, after a door was opened in heaven, was invited to come up into heaven. We said this typified the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is an event yet future and yet about which no prophecy needs to be fulfilled before it occurs, because it is the next thing on God's prophetic schedule. What John saw when he went into heaven is the same thing that you and I will see in this future event, when we are raptured, translated, transported into heaven, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, we did notice that John saw first the Lord Jesus Christ, and we said we too would see Jesus first of all. He saw a number of other things, or creatures, shall we say, 24 elders, 4 living creatures. But before he began to talk about this heavenly host, his eyes fastened upon the throne upon which the Lord Jesus Christ sat, and he began to talk about the abstract things related to the throne before he began to talk about the personalities involved. And the first thing that attracted his attention was a rainbow round about the throne. We've been thinking about that rainbow for the past several days and the significance of it, as we have related it to such passages of Scripture as Genesis chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 24. Summing it all up, we found that the rainbow there around the throne on this day of judgment will be there because the human race has broken the everlasting covenant. We don't have time to review what we've said about the breaking of the everlasting covenant, but that is the reason why it was there. We had one other thing to tell you about the rainbow. We said it was different from rainbows, ordinarily speaking, because it was not a rainbow of many colors. It was not a rainbow of 7 colors, as a matter of fact, as is the rainbow which we see in the sky after rain. Rather, it was a green rainbow. It was signified by the emerald. And each of these stones, we have learned, mentioned in the book of the Revelation, is significant. The emerald speaks of eternity, or everlastingness, the characteristic of the covenant at which we have been looking. That's the reason why it's called the everlasting covenant. The emerald is also the 4th stone on the breastplate of the high priest. It's the 4th stone on the foundation of heaven. If you anticipate yourself and look forward to the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Notice what we've been saying, the 4th stone. And 4, if you are interested in the study of numerology in the Word of God, is the number that is always related to the earth. You see how God is particular about details, and what you and I are inclined to pass over rather hurriedly, he writes down carefully and specifically that there will be no misunderstanding. Now, we mentioned 2 other things in this paragraph, and I would like to touch upon them today so that our thinking along this line will be complete. Will you notice in verse 5 of Revelation 4, that out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, as John looked at the throne upon which the Lord Jesus Christ sat. Out of that throne came thunderings and lightnings and voices. What is the significance of this? When you have time to read carefully chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, you will find that it is a symbol of judgment. Read carefully through the book of the Revelation and you will find that four more times reference is made to the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices from the throne of God. And each time a reference is made, some terrible judgment occurs upon the earth. So we say to you that the significance of the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices is to remind us that this is no longer a throne of grace. It is a throne of judgment. No longer the throne of grace which we are able to approach with boldness today, but a throne of judgment from which God will judge the world because of its ignorance of Him. Will you look at verse 6 for the last thing that I would bring to your attention? Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And we'll stop right there because we're going to look at the individuals, as we mentioned to you, in another lesson. For the moment, we're looking at the sea of glass like unto crystal before the throne. What are we to understand by this? If we are to jump to conclusions, we might picture the throne of God in the midst of a mighty sea that looked like glass. But if we did, we would be very definitely in error, because this verse of Scripture should be interpreted in the light of all other verses of Scripture in the Word of God. We would remind you that a careful perusal of the book of the Revelation will remind you that in heaven there is a temple, exactly like the temple which Solomon built, except greater in grandeur and in glory. It's exactly like the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, we are told that Moses was instructed to make the tabernacle exactly as God said, because it was an exact replica of the tabernacle that was in heaven. With that thought in mind, I would suggest to you that the various pieces of furniture which were in the temple built by Solomon are in the temple in heaven. And strange as this may sound to you, this sea of glass is presented as being before the throne of God, because this sea of glass that we are thinking about now was not a sea as we often think of it, but was actually a piece of furniture in the tabernacle in heaven. When you have time, read carefully the first book of Kings, chapter 7, and you will find that in the temple built by Solomon there was a piece of furniture called the sea, the molten sea. And this was a sea of glass, a sea that was as clear as crystal. This was the laver. That was the name of the piece of furniture, the laver in the temple in heaven. Well, now, why is it there? Well, let me suggest to you that it is here as a reminder of the basis upon which the judgment of God is going to be handed down. For the laver in the Old Testament was used by the priests for washing of hands before they entered into the presence of God. Used symbolically throughout the Word of God as a type of the Word of God. The laver, then, is presented at the foot of the throne as an eternal reminder that the Word of God is the basis of judgment. There's one significant thing about this laver, however, that impresses us. It's not movable. It's not fluid. It is not such as one that could really wash his hands. It is as solid as ice. I wonder why. I believe it's to remind us that we have the privilege, while we are on this earth, of cleansing ourselves with the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse himself? By taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. How are we brought into fellowship with God? With the washing of water by the Word. We have the opportunity then, in this age of grace, of cleansing ourselves with the Word. But when the throne is set, this age will be finished, and what is done will be done. That's the reason why in the book of the Revelation we hear God saying concerning men who will be judged from this throne, "He which is filthy, let him be filthy still." There's nothing more that can be done about it. I would like to remind you, however, that at the present time we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need, forgiveness of sin. If we stand before the throne of grace, we'll not stand before the throne of judgment. Our time is gone. We must leave you. Remember to pray for us.